And welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor. And today on the program, we're going to talk about the bombing of Syria was undertaken by the British, the French, and the Americans. Illegal, unauthorized activity in Syria. They claim to be fighting terrorists, and there is a country that is legally there assisting with aerial support, and that's Russia. But we're going to talk to Zafar Ben-Gaish because this is, I would call it a breaking story. We want to make sure we talk about that first part of the program. And then we are going to be talking, we have a pre-recorded interview with the spokesperson for the president of Burundi, because Burundi, is, as listeners to the show know, is undergoing a crisis in which, once again, the lovely friends of Africa, that is London, Paris, and Washington, have decided what is best for Burundi and have set up a propaganda and news system that is misinforming us from A to Z. And so we thought the fundamental thing to do to clarify matters is to begin with the position of the legal government of that country, which has recently elected its president and wishes to, of course, go on as a member of the community of African states. And we wanted to clarify that. So we have a very good interview for you. Later in the program, we will speak also with Robin Philpott, publisher of Baraka Books, frequent guest on the Taylor Report. And Robin has been given yet another award in Quebec, this time for his work around the issue of the matter of maintaining historical record, a clear historical record, and commemorating those who have made the sacrifices for freedom of and the rights of nations. Specifically today, he's going to be talking about the rebellion of 1837-38. And I'll give you a little tease on that, that in 1938, Mackenzie King, Prime Minister of Canada, unveiled a monument in Niagara Falls commemorating the 37-38 rebellion. And it is now 2016. The monument is gone. It's long since disappeared. And therefore, he's going to explain why it disappeared. I think we may have Zafar Ben-Gaish on the line. No, right? We very nearly did. He saw his ghost.
Phil, can we have the monument back? Did somebody take it away?
We're going to come to that. That was Phil Connors' voice, and he's welcome. And I think now we have Zafar Ben-Gaish, Crescent International. Are you there, Zafar?
Yes. Hello, Phil.
We're all very happy we got you. Someone nearly fainted here. But anyhow, it's wonderful to have you on the line because we have news. And as a matter of fact, you're going to have to tell me what it is. I went to sleep last night and haven't read the news since. And the last thing I noted about the Syria matter was that the president of Syria, Bashar al-Assad. I always want to say Hafez, his father's name, anyway.
That's correct.
But he said in an interview with the British papers that he thought that the British intervention would be of no value to the overall struggle against terrorists in his country. And then he also mentioned something that has not come up very often, but is beginning to come up more often. And he said it would be illegal because they had not sought the permission of Syria, and he thought that that might become a problem. So today I wake up, and then only shortly before coming to the show, I learned that something has happened today. Can you take it up from there?
Yes, of course. In that interview with the Sunday Times, which was yesterday, published yesterday, he said that both French and British interventions are not going to solve the problem that is in Syria. And, of course, he gave his reasons for that. He said that, these are the two countries, along with the U.S. and Saudi Arabia, et cetera, that he mentioned, that are financing these terrorist outfits And he actually even gave the dates, and he said that they've been doing this for a long time, and now they come around and they claim that they are fighting this terrorist outfit. He said that that's not going to happen. In fact, he even said, although not in that particular interview, because I think that interview was conducted prior to that, but he said that the British yesterday actually bombed Syrian army positions. And this was feared that, you know, all of these countries that are involved over there, they are not really interested in degrading the terrorist outfits, that they, I don't know why they keep on insisting on calling them moderate rebels.
Yes.
In fact,
Cameron said 70,000.
70,000. And you know, he was, of course, roundly condemned for that. Robert Fisk, among others, he said that, you know, where are these 70,000? He said, these people live in a fantasy land. He said, there are not even 70 of them.
Yes.
And this is just a myth that they create in order to justify their intervention in Syria. And as you said, in that interview with the Sunday Times, Bashar al-Assad pointed out that what they are doing is illegal. It's against international law. He said that they don't respect Syria's sovereignty. In fact, when he was asked whether, you know, you would, you have talked to them about this, these countries, these governments, he said, look, are we to assume that Britain, France, the United States, and others are not aware of international law, that I have to remind them about this? I mean, you know, he said that this is ludicrous. And of course, he was also asked as to how this problem would be solved. He said, well, there are two things that need to happen. He said that the first, of course, is for us, the Syrians, the Syrian army, the Syrian people, the Syrian government, to confront these terrorists. And this is something that we will continue to do. And the second thing is that the countries that are financing, arming, and training these people, they have to stop doing financing, arming, and training these people.
Yes.
And so he was very, very clear, very categorical about the root of the problem. And he was clear as to how this is going to be solved. And then he also gave the example of Russia. And he said that these Western countries, with the U.S. and its other so-called allies that have been claiming to bomb ISIS and ISIL or whatever you call them for more than a year, and they couldn't do much damage, and yet Russia comes in starting September 30th, and they have caused enough damage, and the Syrian army has now been able to make significant progress. And so that is what has caused panic in Western capitals, because they see that their plan to overthrow the government of Bashar al-Assad is unraveling now, and the terrorists that they're financing are now being degraded and put on the run.
Yes, and probably need a rescue. You notice the behavior of the U.S. has been, as soon as the Russian Air Force began to operate, the U.S. started talking about, don't hit this one and that one. They might be friends of ours.
Right.
And I remember that the flag came up. Someone said they actually are trying to get some of their key people out of there because they're in the line of fire.
Yes.
But then Putin gave them a problem by saying, well, please tell me where these good people are. And they wouldn't tell him. So he said, it's kind of hard to protect your guys if you don't tell me where they are.
Yes. And in fact, Putin, since they you know, the Turks shot down the Russian plane on November 24th, he has stated on a number of occasions that Russia had provided the coordinates of their planes, where they are going to be at any particular time. The Americans were fully aware of it, and that there was absolutely no reason for the Turks to shoot down that plane, because even the Turks were aware of where the plane was.
Which unfortunately means it was a trap, in a sense.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. I mean, the Turks did it deliberately. They are sort of, you know, not trying to, you know, all kinds of excuses they are making. Well, we didn't know whose plane it was, and if we had known it was a Russian plane, we wouldn't have done it, etc. But, I mean, you know, if the president of a country, that is the Russian president, Putin, says that, and he says it publicly, and nobody has been able to refute that, then obviously it is Putin who's telling the truth, and it's the Turks that are telling a lie.
Yes. That would not be a surprise to the Syrians. This is Zafar Bengash, Crescent International. We don't want to keep you too long, but I do want to make sure we ask about the vote that the British Parliament took. I was very struck by it. The Scottish National Party voted against.
Right.
The Welsh Party, Plaid Cymru, they voted against.
Right.
The Irish members, I believe, voted against.
Yes.
The rest of the way, it seems to me, the vote was, in my opinion, are we still a colonial power, or not? And the answer was, yes, we're still a colonial power. Isn't that what it was?
Of course. You see, when you look at the vote, in fact, there were some Conservative Party members, which is incredible, that they actually spoke out against the government's position, and they said that the government is making the same mistake that was made in Afghanistan and in Iraq, and now we are repeating the same mistake here. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, among the Labour Party, there were some that broke away from the Labour Party, mm-hmm. and they voted with the government. In fact, this is what are referred to in British politics as Blairites.
Yes.
That the ones that are influenced by Blair's thinking and his followers, etc.
Yes.
Who unfortunately are very upset with Jeremy Corbyn's victory, because his victory has come through the support of the masses.
Mm-hmm.
And so these old establishmentarian politicians are unhappy because they feel that now their manipulative politics are getting exposed. So they unfortunately voted with the Conservative Party against the position of their own party, which was, Corbyn has always been opposed to wars. He's an anti-war activist.
Mm-hmm.
He's consistently opposed these wars, and he has said and mm-hmm. warned against them that they're going to do nothing, but they're going to bring further and further destruction and death, and ultimately, even British soldiers would be killed
yes.
in a futile war that is going to create more enemies, and it won't achieve anything for us.
Yes. And further to the last point here is that also there's reports that the Islamic Republic is now supplying or going to have planes in the area. Is that true? Have you heard that?
Yes, I've heard reports of that. That on a number of occasions, their air force planes have accompanied Russian bombers, because the Russian bombers obviously are much slower planes, and so the fighter jets, as Putin had said. And since Iran is part of that coalition, the Islamic Republic planes have also been involved in those missions over Syria.
Yeah.
I don't know whether they have been involved in any bombing missions, but definitely they have participated in supportive role of the Russian planes, yes.
Yeah, and the ultimate villain, or one of the ultimate villains we have here, Saudi Arabia, is being called out by some people. Particularly, a German minister said, we really have to put an end to this thing of looking the other way. Now, Saudi Arabia, their goal is to check the Islamic Republic. In some way, we live in a time when people are talking about Islamophobia, but there is, what's the other word, the Greek word for this? There's love for Saudi Arabia. The crown, the members of the royal family go and dance together with the Saudis.
Yes.
So that's a love affair with a Wahhabi state. It would help us, would it not, that people notice that there isn't, on the part of these countries that talk about, oh, we're worried about Muslims, they're not worried about the Saudis. They love
yes.
the Saudis.
The Saudis
are paying for this.
This is the I wouldn't say it is strange, but this is the really maddening situation that hardly anybody talks about the root of all of this problem, which is basically Saudi Arabia and that vicious ideology of Wahhabism that these terrorists carry. And, for instance, anytime there is any terrorist act anywhere, then Muslims all over the world, whether they live in the Muslim countries or here, they are immediately called upon to condemn it. Well, the Muslims do it loud and clear, but mm-hmm. nobody talks about the real supporters of these terrorists, which is the Saudi regime. Their own so-called scholars, we call them scholars for dollars because they have sold their souls. they give these ridiculous fatwas justifying all kinds of crimes, not only against their own people, but also against others. And so these are essentially the poisoned fruit of Wahhabi ideology. And what do these Western governments do? Number one, and the media, they don't talk about the role of the Saudi regime.
No, they sell them weapons.
Exactly. And number two, they sell them weapons. Canada itself is selling them $15 billion worth of weapons. I think this weapon sale has to be brought to an end, even if it means the loss of about a couple of thousand jobs somewhere.
Yes.
I think, you know, this wicked regime in Saudi Arabia ought to be put on notice. The French are selling them $11 billion worth of weapons. The British are selling them $20 billion. The Americans, $60 billion. And now in the last few days, they also signed another contract with them for several billion dollars. So long as these weapons manufacturers can continue to make money from the Saudis, then they say, okay, the Saudis have a blank check. They can do whatever they like.
Yes. They close the embassies of a secular government protecting Christians and Muslims, and they keep open and never question their relations with that government, a royal government in Saudi Arabia.
Right.
Which shows that they're a pack of hypocrites.
Absolutely.
Zafar Benghazi, it's great to talk to you. You've given us exactly what we needed, the
Thank
information
you.
And knowledge. Thank you very much.
It's my great pleasure. Thanks, Phil.
Talk
Bye-bye.
To you soon.
Thanks,
Zafar Benghazi, Crescent International. You can we will give you the address of his site later on again. But now we have an interview done with the spokesperson of the presidency of Burundi to help us clarify that matter. That's coming up.